I want to talk this morning about a touchy subject in our world today. Brother Bill asked me if I had a scripture reading for him. I told him the scripture reading. I said it's the one about being judgy. And that's kind of the way that it's represented in the script in the world today. Folks look at that and say, don't be judgy. Don't judge me. Don't be telling me what I'm supposed to do. You're judging me. But as with all things scripture, folks who are focused on the world don't understand what that scripture means. Because right there, after saying, be careful how you judge, he says you're going to be judged. And be careful of the judgments you make, because those same judgments will be brought back on you. And then he says, you're going to be judging, because he says you're going to look at your brother and see a speck in his eye. Just remember, you got a plank in your own eye. And he doesn't say, well, because you have a plank in your own eye, you don't ever say anything to your brother. He says you take care of your problem, and then you can see clearly to take care of the problem that your brother or sister has, to get the speck out of their eye. And I've been studying on this earlier during the day yesterday, and my wife brought me her glasses yesterday evening, and a screw had come out holding the nose piece. You know how tiny those screws are? And I got to thinking, you know, if I had a plank in my eye, there's no way I could have seen that little... I had a hard enough time seeing that little screw as it was. Had to use tweezers to hold it and get it in place. But if we're going to be helping our brother, we've got to have clear sight. I mean, first thing I did is went into the kitchen and sat down at the table and turned all the lights on. We've got to be able to see. That text does not tell us, don't judge. And you notice we have the text, John chapter 7 and verse 24 on the screen here. We have that reference in our title page here on our screen. And it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And when somebody comes to me and says, Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, do not judge, I point them to John chapter 7 verse 24 that says, do judge. But just tells us how to judge. We're going to talk about that this morning. And I want to tell you at the outset that the reason I'm preaching this lesson this morning is because over the past several weeks, I've been getting to notice that I've been saying some things to myself about neighbors and friends and even brethren. And as I began to think about it and wonder, maybe I'm making a judgment without having all the facts. Maybe I'm making a judgment that I ought not be making yet. I need to stop and think through these things. And I say that, two things. First off, it reminds you that I'm not perfect. And I understand that. But also, I want you to know that I'm preaching this lesson to me as much as I am to you. And I've already studied on this lesson some, and I still felt like I needed it some more to present it this morning. And that's the case with all the lessons I present. They are things that are useful to me or in some particular situation that I see needs to be dealt with, certainly. But I'm preaching to me as much as I am to anyone. So don't think that Dan's standing up here saying, hey, y'all need to take care of your judgment. I'm talking about us. We all need to be careful in regards to those things. We need to consider the kind of judgment that we make. At first, I guess, maybe as we talk about this idea of judgment, we need to recognize that there is some necessity to judgment. We have to judge. Later on in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We have to make judgment calls about false prophets. We've got to look at someone, we've got to consider what they're teaching, and we've got to be able to say, this man is teaching the truth, or this woman is teaching false doctrine, and we need to beware. No matter how good they look, what they're teaching is not right. We've got to make those judgment calls. And that's what that is a judgment. John further clarifies this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 when he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John says it's not just making judgments, but it's looking at what people say in light of the Word of God. Are they right in God's sight in what they say? Whether they match God. That's what we're making a determination about. We're not judging on the character. We're not judging on the presentation. We're judging on the content that they're presenting. Does it match the content God has given us? And that puts the judgment, righteous judgment, is based on God's Word. And just that principle right there, making sure that we're always using God's Word when we're making the judgment, takes care of about 75 to 90%. And I just made up those percentages, by the way. But it takes care of a whole lot of the problems we have in this world today with judging. Making sure our judgment is based upon God's Word. It is necessary that we judge. In 2 John verse 9 through 11, a passage we're familiar with, having studied it not too long ago in our Sunday morning class, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates with his evil deeds. In other words, when somebody comes to you teaching something, you make a judgment call based on the Word of God, whether you will receive that person or not. We have to judge because we have to keep ourselves away from false teachers. We have to judge because we have to be able to help our brethren. I know some folks see Romans chapter 14 on the screen up there sometimes and they think, oh no, that's a chapter nobody understands. Well, I'll tell you what, we can understand chapter 14 and verse 1 without any problem whatsoever. And I'm convinced if you understand this, you can understand the rest. Paul says, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. In other words, bring your weak brother in, but for the purpose of helping him to grow, not tearing him down. We have to make judgments. How do we know if one is weak in the faith? Judge for yourselves, he told the Corinthian brethren. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? And I know that opens up a whole other topic of discussion that we may look into sometime. But for points of our lesson, it emphasizes the idea that we have to make judgments. There is nothing about the Word of God that would teach or indicate that we can go through life without judging. We have to. Have to. But it has to be righteous judgment. It has to be in accordance with the will of God. When Paul speaks to the Colossian brethren about some of the difficulties that they were having with those who were trying to pull them back into the old law, he talks about how that old law had been done away with in the death of Christ and how it had been nailed to the cross in some of those verses. And in verse 16 he says, no one is to act as your judge in regarding to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Why? Because those things aren't enumerated in the law anymore. Those things were done away with Christ. We have to make righteous judgments. Judgments in accordance with the will of God, but we do have to make judgments. And that leads us to the next point in regards to our judgments and making righteous judgments. We need to understand there is a righteous standard that we go by. The word that Jesus has delivered to us is the word by which we will be judged. Therefore, it's the word that we need to use in order to judge others. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. The Word of God needs to be the standard in all things in regards to our determining whether a brother or sister is in sin, whether they're weak, whether they're strong, whether our neighbor is a Christian or he's not a Christian, whether we're growing or we're failing or we're increasing or we're decreasing. Whether we're obedient or we're not, it's the Word of God. Jesus rebuked the Jews because they had turned to the doctrines of men. They were more focused on what the fathers had taught and what the priests were saying than they were about what God had said. He said, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's not what I think. It's not what Brother John thinks. It's what does the Word of God say? God's Word is the standard, and we have to go back to that. Back again in Colossians chapter 2, we read a little more context with verse 16, beginning in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Certainly, the Apostle Paul is dealing with those that were being pulled back into the old law, and he's emphasizing that the old law is no more. In doing that, maybe more so for us today, he emphasizes that the law of Christ is what matters. That's where we turn. It is a righteous standard that we can use to judge. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 up there. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to connect that. I don't have Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. But remember, it is the gospel of Christ wherein the faith is revealed. The righteousness of God and the faith that we are to follow. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We walk by the Word of God that develops faith, not by sight. We have a righteous standard. That's only right. Anytime we're going to make a judgment, we need to have a standard in front of us. If you're going to build something, you're going to judge how big or small it is, whether you're cutting out cloth material or you're cutting out lumber, you're going to use a standard measurement. Some folks may use those weird millimeter measurements. Other folks may use the standard of U.S. measurement, inches and feet. In fact, most of us, when we go to cut something out, we pull out the ruler and say, okay, that's how long it's supposed to be, and we cut it there. We're using a standard. Same is true in our judgments. We don't just look and say, well, I think that's about right. We measure against the standard. And that's what we do with judgment. We have a righteous standard. And I emphasize that because that's the very beginning of making righteous judgments, to know where the standard is. And the other thing to keep in mind is, why are we making the judgment? That's what that word motive means. What's the reasoning behind? Why are you making that judgment? What's your motive for that? The Scripture tells us that we need to have a righteous motive in all things that we do. Over in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 2 and reading through verse 6 of that passage. When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I know. There's nothing there about motives for judging. It doesn't say anything about judging there, does it? No, but there's a great principle laid down there. And that is the principle of motivation. We don't do alms so everybody can see we're doing alms. We don't pray to God so that everybody says, hey, he had a great prayer there. We pray to God so we can talk to God. What's our motivation? Serving God, pleasing Him, lifting ourselves up in His service. That's why we do those things. The same thing must be true of our judgment. Why are we making this judgment? Are we making this judgment because we want to get back at somebody? Are we making this judgment because we want other people to know that we are against that person or that we are for that person? Are we making that judgment because all of our friends are making that judgment? Why are we making that determination or judgment? What's our motive? Hopefully it's not such an evil motive as I want to tear that person down completely because they looked at me wrong when I saw them in the hallway at school the other day. When we were growing up, they didn't let me play with their toys, so I'm going to just destroy them when we get around everybody else. When I have to work with them on the job, I don't want anything to do with them. That's wrong motives, folks. Our judgment needs to be righteous. Judgment. It needs to be a righteous motive. Those necessary things that we had to judge, every single one of them had to do with applying the Word of God. Our lives are beset by constant worldly struggles all the time. Even in dealing with those worldly struggles, our motivation must be spiritual. We don't tear somebody down because they disagree with us. We deal with their doctrine because it's false in the sight of God. Paul talks about motivation of those who were preaching the gospel in the book of Philippians chapter 1. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill, the latter to do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Once again, this doesn't talk about judgment, but it emphasizes that principle. What's it about? Is it building up the body of Christ and strengthening our brethren? Or is it getting back at the guy that parked in our parking space last week? What's our motivation? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is a righteous motivation for judgment. We talked about that in Bible class a little bit this morning. When Jesus wrote to the brethren there in Laodicea, he said, "Those that I love, I rebuke." It's out of love that he was telling those brethren, "You're failing, and you need to get it right." Love is a righteous motivation. We need to be careful about directing our judgment at an individual. Now, don't get me wrong. Many of our judgments are going to be in regards to a particular individual. There was one particular individual that John was dealing with in 2 John, verse 9 and 11, when he was talking about some judgments he had to make. The Apostle Paul talks about some judgments he had to make with some particular individuals. But it wasn't the individual he was focused at. It was the individual's action or inaction that was the focus. It was, how does this fit with serving God? We have a couple of instances of some who made some judgments or made some comments in regard to some judgments. One that we don't think of a lot of times, maybe, in John chapter 1 and verse 46, Nathanael, when he was told, "We found the Christ," he said, and he came out of Nazareth, and he said, "Can anything come out of good come out of Nazareth?" And of course, he was told, "Come and see." He made a judgment of an individual based on where that individual lived or came from. Now, we got that term racism, that this fits perfectly. We can't make a judgment just based on what somebody looks like, where they lived before. I mean, I know a lot of great people that used to live in Louisiana. or Mississippi, nor in all the great people that live in Arkansas. I know some great people in Illinois, even in Chicago. We can't make a judgment simply based on where that person came from. That's not a righteous judgment. That's a prejudice judgment. And when the Apostle Peter was standing in Cornelius' house, he opened his mouth in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him." There's where we make a judgment on an individual. Does he fear God and do what is right? Doesn't matter where he came from. We need to be careful of such judgments. They're quick judgments that we make sometimes without giving a lot of thought to it. We can't judge based on individual characteristics, where a person came from, what they looked like. In Acts chapter 16, we have another situation. They brought them to the chief magistrate. They said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews." First off, the folks they brought before the magistrates weren't Jews, they were Christians. They used to be Jews, they were Christians now. But they were judged because they had been Jews. That's not righteous judgment. That's not judging based on the righteous standard of the Word of God. We need to be careful that when we're judging, even in accord with the standard, that we're judging based on the principles that are taught, and that we're not abusing those things. You know, the brethren in Corinth, the Apostle Paul deals with a problem they had in that. In fact, he deals with a couple of problems they had in that congregation. We'll make reference to another one of them in a moment. But in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the problem they had in regards to observing the Lord's Supper. That they were coming together not to observe the supper of the Lord, but they were coming together to have a feast. There were some that were going hungry. There were some that were overfilled, gorging themselves. And none of them were being edified. But even then, when the Apostle Paul rebukes them for those actions, he points to the Word of God. Here's what God said to do in this. Here's the principle behind what you're supposed to be doing. Make the proper adjustments in your action to fit that principle. He went back to the righteous standard. He says in verse 31 and 32 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, "If we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." If we are watching ourselves properly and making sure that we're right in the sight of God, there's no fear of any judgment. But when God looks down and judges upon us, or when one of our brethren looks at us and says, "You're doing this wrong because here's what the Word says versus what you're doing," we receive discipline. If we consider ourselves properly, I'll touch on this in a little more detail in a moment, if we are applying judgment to ourselves also, we'll receive that instruction and we'll grow as a result of it. When we're talking about motive, I want to single out and emphasize mercy. We talked about love a moment ago and how important it is in regards to our judgments against others. But let's don't forget, mercy plays a part in that righteous judgment as well. Is our motive merciful? Is it considering of that brother? And is it for their betterment, or is it to tear them down? Prophet Micah writes in chapter 6 and verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness," or some versions have the word mercy there, "and to walk humbly with your God." What is expected of you? You walk in accordance with the will of God, but you also do so in a manner that is just and kind and merciful. I think we understand the word mercy seems to be a little stronger term than kindness, but it's that idea involved. We need to exercise mercy in our judgments. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We have the other instance in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul deals with a problem they had. In verse 12 through 13, he says, "What do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those that are within the church, but those who are outside God judges? Remove the wicked man from among yourselves." And we didn't read all the context there, but they had someone who was living in adultery. And they almost seemed proud about it. And what Paul said is, you need to make a judgment and you need to cast that man out because of his wickedness. But then when he wrote to him again in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, "Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. You judge this man, but make sure your judgment is in accordance with mercy." I think that kind of leads into the final point that we want to make in regards to this idea of righteous judgment. Paul, when he talks about this brother here who had been rebuked, kind of plays on the emotions of the people involved, the ones that rebuked him, and said, "How would you feel if you fixed things and folks still wouldn't take you back? You need to have mercy on this man." We need to be willing to apply judgment consistent to all. And maybe instead of to all, maybe I should say consistent application to myself. We're pretty good about applying consistent judgment to everybody else. But you know, I need to be held to the same standard. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about when he gives us that example of the speck in the plank, or the speck in the log, splinter in the log, whichever version you're reading from. There's a major difference there. And Jesus says what you're doing is you're holding someone else to a greater standard than you hold yourself. I've got a file on my computer, a thought I had, I don't know, several months ago, and one of these days it'll finally get fleshed out where it's a whole sermon. But we'll make mention of it right now because I titled that file "The Me Standard." And one of the points I make in that file is, do you hold yourself to the same standard that you hold everybody else? When we're judging righteous judgment, we have to make sure that we consistently apply those things to ourselves as well as everyone else. I guess that's why I started this lesson, by reminding you that part of the reason for preaching this lesson is because I had some problems with judgment myself and began to look at those things. We need to make sure that we're judging ourselves as well as everyone else in a consistent manner. Righteous judgment requires that. Get a little context on the text we read at the very beginning of our lesson this morning in John chapter 7, beginning in verse 22. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 22. "For this reason Moses has given you circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man whole or well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." What Jesus says here is, you're holding me to a different standard than you hold yourself. Even the law doesn't use the standard you're trying to use on me. The law says that a man can be circumcised on the Sabbath day. Well, if a man can be circumcised on the Sabbath day, he can be made whole on the Sabbath day. He's using a different standard. We ought not do that. We ought to judge righteous judgment. And there again, we go back to that speck in your brother's eye and log in your own. In Matthew chapter 7, what standard am I holding myself to? It has to begin with holding myself to the righteous standard before I can hold my brother to that standard. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, Paul says, "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? We're held to the same standard as everybody else. More pointedly, with some examples, beginning in verse 21, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? Are you holding yourself to the same standard that you hold everyone else? Consistent application to all is necessary for righteous judgment. You know, judging is not a topic that we like to think about. Oh, let me rephrase that. That we like to be taught about. None of us really mind judging. We make judgments all the time. Some of them don't make any difference. Whether a Sonic burger is better than a Wendy's burger, who cares? Whether Chick-fil-A is better than Chicken Express or Popeyes or whatever, those don't matter. Some have dire, eternal consequences. When we try to say that I'm better than you because I do this and you don't, we're using righteousness, we're applying the same thing. We try to say, you need to change, and I'm going to make sure you change, but don't look to see if there's something that needs to be fixed in our life, or we're making righteousness. We need to use the righteous standard. We need to judge in accordance with that standard. We need to judge faithfully with that standard. We need to judge ourselves. We need to judge with mercy. We need to judge with love. Based on the Word of God. Those judgments are the ones that matter. Look into your life. Are you living in accordance with that will? You will be judged. Not by me. Not by anybody else here. But we'll draw our conclusions based on your actions, hopefully, by comparing them to the Word of God. That's what this lesson's all about. But the judgment that I'm talking about, it's God who's going to judge you. Folks, He knows the standard. He is the standard. When He makes that judgment, that's going to be it. There won't be any means of making a change at that point. So if you look at yourself this morning and you find that there is anything that is not matching up with His standard, fix it. That means confessing your sin before God in prayer and asking Him through Jesus Christ to wipe that sin away. Confessing to Him your desire to set things right and be pleasing in His sight and your hope that He'll be with you through the rest of time that you might remain faithful. Then do that. Correct it. If that means that you have to humble yourself, not just in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of your brethren or in the sight of your family, and say, I was wrong. I did this, or I didn't do this. Or I thought everything was right, but I find out now I had left off. Or I wasn't certain at the time. And I need to get that straight. If you're a child of God, you can come forward to brethren and pray with you and for you so that you might be free from that sin. We'll go to God on your behalf with you. That you might be cleansed. And have things set right in the sight of all. If in your investigation of yourself in light of the standard of God, you find that you are not a child of God, you've not obeyed the gospel, you've become a part of the family of God, be added to the body of Christ because you've not acted upon your belief in Jesus as the Son of God and confessed Him before men, or you didn't repent of your sins and come back to God. You've never done that. Or you were not buried in baptism so that you might have your sins washed away and be added to
the family of God. You were buried in baptism because you had already been saved, they said. Or because part of some other group. Fix that today. If you've got thoughts in regards to that, and you've got questions that you need answered before you can be certain of that, hey, give me a holler. Tap me on the shoulder after service this morning. We'll spend whatever it takes to talk about those things. Because when it comes to the day of judgment with God, there's no change. You get it right now. Or you can't. If you realize that your life is not right in the sight of God, and it needs to be made right. Let us help you do that. Convince Him. Come to God. Give Him your life. Be right in His sight. And all things might be well. You can go to heaven in this life of hope. Your subject, won't you come and stand and say for your prayer?